The 3HL, coming up this afternoon from 3 to 6 p.m. Now it's time for Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone.
Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Hour number 3 gets started on this Tuesday in Nashville. Good to have you with us. We all are looking forward to Coach Mack, who's going to join us in about 50 minutes on the show. Senior Bowl going on right now. Blaine, you're one of the rare people who played in more than one All-Star game. I'd known you for a little while before you slipped that in one day, because we were talking about the Senior Bowl, and you said, yeah, I played in the Senior Bowl. And I'm like, wait a second. We were talking about this one other time. I mentioned the blue-gray game, and you said, yeah, I played in the blue-gray game. I said, how in the world did you even do that? You said, I don't know, but I did both. So that's a rare double-double that I don't know if a lot of people have accomplished this, because I don't think anybody – well, I guess there is no blue-gray game right now, but I don't know many people who did that, who got to play in both of those games.
Well, when you're in a position of Ball State and trying to prove to the world that you could actually play at the next level, you'll take whatever you can get. So I kind of got the blue-gray first. And then all of a sudden at the Blue Gray, the Senior Bowl guys was like, uh-oh, this guy's pretty good. So then they sent me an invite. And then, you know, I'm going against all the 93 Alabama team that was there, pretty much on my team, some on the other. Let alone the Missile was there, and Quadri, and playing cornerback. So then that led to an invite to the combine. So kind of snowballed, really. I wouldn't say at the last minute, definitely got invited to the Blue Gray, but as I was at the Blue Gray, then that invite came in, which was 2 weeks later. And now I'm currently a con artist, because now I'm in the Senior Bowl Hall of Fame.
Oh, you conned them all, man. You made it work. Hall of Famer. That's the way you do it.
Yeah. So that was a great time, though, going through that whole process.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're that guy. And I was talking to the guys that I trained today for the combine. Is that, you know, they're all at, you know, not big name schools, and, you know, kind of Western Kentucky schools like that, and Marshall. And so I was telling them, you must get comfortable for being uncomfortable. And that means that just because you didn't go to the big school and you were watching them on TV, just like I was, now they're on TV, you know, maybe not as much inconvenient times during the week, me and you will watch them, but that you're just as good as them. In some cases, you may be better. Don't let that awness of, oh, they went to such and such school, that assuming that they're better, whether it was Alabama and you went to Marshall. Mm-hmm. So that maturation process really helped build my confidence while I'm at the Senior Bowl. I'm there first day like, oh, man, I get to see these dudes I used to see on TV. You know, the Mac was not on TV at that time. No. And I'm like thinking that they're all this, you know, already NFL players in my mind, really. And I get there and go, guess what? I'm just as good as you. As time went on, day by day of two-a-days, by the way,
right,
I start building confidence that, you know what, I'm just as good and maybe better in some cases. So it was a really good process for me to go through. And then that led to me, you know, having a really good combine and seeing that, you know, I belong, really, and that you're qualified to be there. So it was an exciting time for me, and I think it's the same now. So today's a lot of nervousness. Need to relax, have confidence in what you're doing, train forward, and be prepared for anything, and be coachable, and be able to hold a conversation with people, and be able to decipher what they're explaining to you, and then put it in your own terms if you want to go out there and have success.
Yeah.
Really, that it's just that simple.
It's interesting, too, because – like, I'm such a nerd, you know me. I'll watch the game on TV. If there's a football game on, I watch all of them. Canadian Arena, All-Star games. I watch all of them.
You make me football. Feel like I don't love football or something, because I don't watch all those games. But I love football. But, man,
football Canada just goes away. It goes away too fast. So I just watch all of it I can. It's like pumpkin pie at Christmas time. By the time we get to Christmas, I know that's it. So, like, I ate a whole pumpkin pie over the course of 2 days, I think, at my mom's house. So I know I'm not getting any more until, like, next Thanksgiving. I treat football the same way. I take in all that I can for as long as I can get it. But it's interesting, because we all watch the game, and we're watching, trying to figure things out. And what the scouts and what everybody who actually understand the business always say is, hey, man,
business is all done by the time the game happens.
Yeah.
We're watching one-on-ones. We're seeing how guys soak up things in meetings. We get, you know, teams get to talk to guys. They said, that's all the stuff that matters. I mean, by the game time, y'all can watch that on TV. We got our notebooks closed up for the most part. By that time, we got all of our knowledge about these guys.
Yeah, because they're getting hands-on experience. You know, it's coached by NFL coaches, whether it's former head coaches or current head coaches, and they bring their whole staff, and the scouts are all there. So you get to see guys up close and personal. And I think that's really advantageous for a lot of players and teams to get to see you, you know, running, you know, NFL offenses and defenses, how you take in information and how quickly you learn, you know, because everybody's going to make mistakes. So don't be tight, be loose, go out there and really relish the moment and have fun. You've already won by being there. And I, to be honest, and really, I wish I would have felt that way, because you still get tense and somebody could tell you that 50 billion times and you still can go out there and press and try to do more. But just relax and just go out there and take it. You know, the process is already going to happen. You don't know where you're going to go. You can't control it besides you control you. Right. So I loved it. Besides that, the Indianapolis Colts were the team that coached me, and they did not draft me. So I hated the Colts, and I still do today for that reason. Yeah.
Do you remember talking to Oilers scouts or the Oilers telling you along the way at some point, hey man, we really
nope, not at all.
Wow.
Yeah. I was thinking you know, teams that I worked out for when they came to Ball State three or four times. It was like the Bengals, the Jets and the Giants. So I thought I was pretty much going there.
Wow.
And then never even really talk very much to the Oilers at the time, Houston Oilers, not at all. So when they drafted me, I was like, huh? Yeah. So I was a little shocked there, because they didn't need any. I was a quarterback, so I'm thinking I'm a quarterback. They had just drafted like three the year before. I'm like, oh man, why did they draft me? Who's to know that eventually I get moved to safety in my rookie year, and then, you know, the rest is history. But yeah. So I was open to it, as much as moving to safety halfway through training camp with Achilles tear from a first rounder the year before, Mike Dumas from IU, to Mark Robb, then tearing his ACL, and then Bubba McDowell, who was the starter, actually having a patella tendon knee injury. So that led me to getting moved to safety, really. And I'm telling you, I did not like that decision. I never told anybody. I sat there and go, dude, what? Oh my God. I'm thinking, well, maybe I get a chance to be on the field. Because when they move me, you know, I'm like the backup. I'm not starter. I'm the backup.
Right.
To the guy who was the backup, who's now starting. I think it was Bo Orlando, you know, Bo Orlando from West Virginia. Mm-hmm. Really good dude. And I'm like, dang, man, I don't want to move here. What am I supposed to do? I guess I'm just going here and learn all the safety stuff. And we're in Buddy Ryan's defense, which is super complex.
Right.
And I'm kind of the linchpin guy that makes all the adjustments. And I'm like, what? Why would y'all move me here? Why can't I be the other guy, like the safety guy?
The other guy.
Oh, yeah, like, you know, play deep middle and get to go sideline to sideline and intercept some balls.
Right.
That would be the easiest. Yeah. Nope. So lucky for me, it worked out. But the Senior Bowl was a heck of an experience. I tell you what, I think they only remember me and put me in the Hall of Fame because I ran into a goalpost. Yeah. I don't know if I ever told you that. I mean, I was running so fast with the missile, I could not stop. And I ran into the goal. I ran into the goalpost so bad, I hurt my shoulder. I did. And I was like, oh my God. They said, you okay? And I got up slow and said, yeah, I'm okay. And thinking, uh-oh, my shoulder is dislocated. So that was like the day, might have been 2 days before the game. And I think they were like, you know what? This guy practiced twice a day. George Teague, who everybody remembers, won the national championship at Alabama. He hardly even practiced. So I was the other corner with him. He was hardly ever there. So I was doing two-a-days by myself, really a quarter. And so I was perturbed about that. You know, that's what I learned about, you know, the McDonald's bags and everything else. I'm like, hey, I didn't get one. They're like, oh, it's only for Alabama players. Wasn't quite like that, but yeah. Yeah, so I only played like probably two quarters worth in the Senior Bowl because it's like, hey, we'll make sure your shoulder's all right. The work was done during the week, Blaine. You did
a good
job.
That's right. Yeah. I think those goalposts are still bent down there in that old stadium in Mobile, by the way.
They weren't bent at all. I was bent. And I was straight acting like I was cool, but I was like, I called my agent when I got to the room and said, hey, man, I think I hurt my shoulder. And I very rarely ever talk about an injury. I was like, hey, dude, I don't know if I'm going to play the game, man.
Oh, man, maybe Coach Mac was there. We're going to ask him next. We're going to ask Coach Mac. We're going to ask Coach Mac if he was there.
Might have been there. 93,
coming
yeah.
up next. Uh-huh. Dave McGinnis brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Next, was he there in 93? We'll find out. Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Joined now by our buddy, Coach Dave McGinnis. He's Nashville's coach. That's the way we like to think of him. We were talking about this in the last segment, Coach Mac. Do you remember being at the 93 Senior Bowl and seeing a young man from Ball State run so hard that he ran into the goalposts? Were you happen to be on the field at that time?
You know what? I think that was still when they were letting us on the field. And I was there, and I said, you know what? That guy'd really make a good, strong safety.
I wish you had the notepad to your evaluation of me coming out of college. Be like, nope, he doesn't make this check. Nope, he can't do this. Nope, he can't do that. What do you think about your evaluation of a young Blaine Bishop?
Blaine, you know, I keep a notebook of every draft I've ever done, which is 34 of them. Now it's going on 35 of them. So I could go back to that year and you would be in it. It would probably have a lengthy write-up saying, I know this guy's going to be a hell of a player.
I doubt that very seriously. He probably would have said, he may be draftable, but he's pretty tough, though, after running to the goalposts.
Yeah, you know, we're going to have to check his vision, but I know he's got toughness.
We said he got down there with all those Alabama guys, Coach, and then he had to cover the missile. Quadri Ismail was there, too. He said he's running faster than he'd ever run before, and he couldn't stop.
You know, I've been to every Senior Bowl when I was coaching. I coached in four of them, three as an assistant, one as a head coach. I had the South team one year, and Mike Holmgren had the North team, and that was a blast. I mean, we really enjoyed doing that. It's very valuable. It really is, being able to be with those players. And what Mike Holmgren and I did is we completely flipped squads one night for meetings. We completely swapped squads one night so that myself and our staff would get to know the other team. Because basically that's what it's for, is information, getting to know the players. I mean, we could watch them on the field, but getting to know them individually as people. And plus, you know, how they absorb things. How were they in the classroom? How seriously were they taking it? All of that stuff was important. And so he and I agreed when we first went down there that we would swap teams one night for meetings. And that was invaluable. People started doing it the year after we did that, I think every year, because that's what it's about. It's about the evaluation and being able to find out a little bit more in person. And this year with the COVID, there's only two All-Star games this year with NFL coaches, the Senior Bowl, clearly one of them, you know, with the team, the Panthers, and then the Dolphins coaching that team. And then, you know, at the Hula Bowl, they're going to have NFL coaches. Rex Ryan's going to be the head coach of one team. I was asked to be the head coach of the other. I could not because of some of my obligations here and other places. But that is important to get to know the players. And, you know, and Blaine will tell you this, when you're there, the coaches are observing you in everything that you do. I mean, absolutely everything, not just on the field. It's everything that you do. And the coaches that are coaching the teams, they are constantly asked by the other coaches there, how's he in the meetings? How is he with the other players? How fast does he get it? How fast can he comprehend it? I mean, all of that stuff is very vital.
I'm with Coach Dave McGinnis, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They got you covered. I do want to ask you this, just since we're talking about it. Did you ever go down there and maybe not know a whole lot about a guy and leave there and say, we're going to draft that guy, and then you did?
No, because I knew about him before you go down
there. Well, maybe you knew something, but you saw enough down there that you thought, okay, well, this proves everything that I knew. We're drafting.
Well, it's part of the evaluation, Mickey. It's not the final evaluation. At all. I mean, you know, because basically you've got 3 days of practice to look at them if you're down there watching, you know. And in the old days, and Blaine can say it, you know, not that he's old, but back in the day before, they used to let everybody on the field, all the coaches, and he can tell you this, when you're doing the one-on-ones and you had a circle of coaches around you. I remember the first time I was coaching, you know, I was doing my linebacker drills, and I looked up, and I've got Don Shula watching me, you know, and you've got, I mean, you're looking, there's, you know, and you're looking, and you're going, whoa, I mean, this is fairly serious. And so now everybody has to be in the stands. Of course, they're not doing it at Ladd Peoples this year. They're doing it on the, you know, on the South Alabama's campus down there. So, but the practices are very, very important. But you only got really 3 days of practices, because all clubs leave after Wednesday, because Thursday's basically a walkthrough. Then Friday's a really, you know, for the Senior Bowl is a community day. You know, and so you got 3 days of practice, so you're not going to make a definitive, but it is part of the evaluation process.
Man, good stuff, Coach Dave McGinnis, on with Blaine and Mickey right here.
Well, Coach, sticking with evaluations, typically take us through what a head coach does to evaluate not only himself, but naturally the offense and defense and special teams, and then figure out what direction the team should go, whether it's on the same plane with losing coaches and players, or in a different direction than what they did that year and going into the new year. Something different. Yeah, well, takes through that evaluation.
It's a good question, Blaine. And you've got base philosophies, but every year is different in the National Football League, because your team is different and your coaching staff's going to be different, either because, you know, you want to make changes, or changes are made because people advance and move on. And so you've always got to have a plan in place for those types of things. But those types of plans have to take a place methodically. You know, you have to have a chance to go back and look at things. And really, when you start to go back after the season, where it's not just the immediacy of what's going on, you take a big, broad view of it and take a look and be completely honest with what happened. Because sometimes, you know, as you well know, you know perfectly, because you were involved in it during the season, you have to make evaluations on what happened the week before, and then you got to move quickly to getting ready for the next team. And you may make some tweaks and adjustments, but you're not only trying to make evaluations as to what you did right and wrong quick, but you've got to start going into next week and seeing what your opponent's doing. In the off season, you've got the luxury of now being able to step back and look at everything from a different view and a different look. If you have new coaches coming in, then you're going to have to be able to put them into that process. You know, so all of it, every year, you've got to be able to adjust to the National Football League. Just like coaching in the National Football League and playing, you know as well as I do, Blaine, that during the season, now there are distinct differences in the first week of the year and the 17th week of the year, because teams have evolved and you have to evolve also yourself. And so that evaluation process, and then your evaluation process in the offseason, involves your personnel people. It involves your general manager. It involves all of those types of things that you have to be able to put together. So it's a process. It's a process. It has to be a detailed process, but it also has to be a very honest process. And every club is unique, because the players change. And the players change so much that makes a difference as to what's going on or what's going to happen next year. And we've got a draft, too. You got free agency and a draft. So you really don't know who your team is right now. You really don't know. You know some key components, but you don't know your entire team yet.
Speaking of evolving, let's take it to the next step on offense. And you know you have some key components. You have the running back, you have the quarterback, and you have a wide receiver, a trifecta. You have some really good players, let alone your offensive line, in place. But you're missing an OC who now has been elevated to head coach. Now, with those pieces, the last 2 years, the team has done really well. But what does the team really need to continue to evolve and make it even more potent, if you want to even give it that term, or different than it was the year before? Because you can't keep going down the same road. Eventually, you know, you're going to get stopped. So do we need to see more Tannehill, even though you have Henry? Do we do maybe a little tweak to the offense and bring more to the table? How would you look at it from a bird's eye view as a head coach, as you said?
Well, it depends on who you hire as your coordinator first. I mean, that's a big thing. And then it depends on who else you have available to you. I mean, that, you know, and you know, you've been very successful the last 2 years offensively. And so what you want to do, I mean, you don't completely want to blow anything up, but you need, you know, I said it a year ago after Arthur Smith's first year. I said the next year what we are going to see is layers to this offense. You're going to start layering it as to where you're not going to completely revamp it, but you are going to put layers on top of it, because defenses study you. They study and see what you're doing. But this year is going to be different, because you got to decide who the offensive coordinator is going to be. And then you have to decide who your players are going to be, because if you're going to be successful, you build on what was successful and to the strengths of those players returning at some of those positions. But you also have to be able to incorporate the strengths of the new people you're going to have surrounding it. So I think all of those things, Blaine, first of all, in the instance of the Titans right now, depends on who you hire as a coordinator.
Wrong with Coach Mack giving us the Mack attack.
One of the names that's been mentioned as the guy who got an interview with the Titans is Pep Hamilton. And I don't want to get into like trying to figure out who's going to get the job or not, but what do you know about Pep Hamilton? It's the guy who's been around, had success, been a coordinator with the Colts. What do you know about him?
Well, I know Pep. I mean, he's a quarterback coach. You know, he's been a good developer of quarterbacks. And I know people that he has worked for. I mean, he's obviously, you know, I thought that in the Alliance or in the XFL, he did a great job as a head coach in the XFL. He really did. And I just being able to organize things. I've never worked with Pep, as I say, but clearly he's got some things on his resume that make people interested. And so, you know, anytime your name comes up, it shows the fact of this. Head coaches always have a list of probable or possible people. Mm-hmm. And so when you see somebody's name pops up, they have done something to catch somebody's eye. As I said, I've never worked with Pep, but I know that he's had some success at places where he's been, and some places where he's been where he has not had as much success. Guys, a lot of times coaches' success depends a lot on who they're coaching.
Yes, sir. Coach Mack on with us. Let me ask you this, because Blaine admitted that he yelled at the TV when it happened. Basically, the last play of the first half, Bucks and Packers, and you got a receiver running in one-on-one coverage right past the guy, and all you got to do, like Blaine said, is put everybody on the goal line. Just do anything other than that. Did you yell at the TV when you watched Tampa hit that 39-yard TD with 1 second to go?
No, because I wasn't going to be questioned about it. I mean, I had nothing to do with it, but you really start looking at it. I mean, we had a great instance this year, you know, at the Jets, you know, with Greg Williams that lost his job over something like that. And then you put it into the playoffs, it magnifies itself. Now, it wasn't the last play of the game, but it was a very significant play. And the thing that you, when you look at it, as I said, I've coached too long in this league, guys, to ever second guess coaches, but I do know this, that Bruce Arians second-guessed himself, because he took the field goal team off the field. He was going to do that, and then he said, uh-uh. And so you knew when he took them off the field with the time that was left, I mean, and Bruce Arians has always been no risk it, no biscuit. You know he's going right down. So I'm just saying there were a whole lot of indicators that pointed to you need to back your fanny up. You know, and so that is what I looked at. I looked at as soon as Bruce, you know, as soon as BA made the call and said, hey, let's go back out there. Then you, as a defensive coordinator, it should have clicked in your head. He's not doing this just to throw a choice route over the middle. Okay. He's going downtown. That was my thought process.
Yeah. And to add to that, Coach, I kind of brought into play, that happens all the time. You know, if that's your style, to be a blitzing style defense, that's okay. But understand situational football when you're out there, and understand the moment. 6 seconds left, this is the last play. I don't care if you call it a blitz, play off and play deep. And just make sure you tackle them inbounds, in the field of play and not in the end zone. Well, that's the part that perturbs me.
Well, first of all, what you need to know, too, is you need to know your opponent. I mean, that Miller kid ran 4-3 nothing.
Right.
First of all, you know, he's not out there.
Back attack.
He's not out there to be a combat catcher. Okay. Right. I mean, he's out there to take. And Kevin King had been struggling. I mean, it wasn't exactly like he was smother covering people, you know. Yeah. So all of that stuff plays into it. And you're 100% right. And when that was a very, very critical play in that game, because the separation of score made a difference in how you played the second half.
There's another play, basically with about 2 minutes left in the game. Green Bay decided to kick a field goal instead of go for it on fourth down. And I don't want to ask you to question another coach, but I wanted to ask you, when things came down to the nitty gritty like that, who was in your ear to help you make those kind of decisions? And how much did you lean on your gut versus if you had an analytics guy and he said, we got a 17% chance to win if we kick it, and we got a 12% chance if we don't, or whatever the numbers might have been?
Well, I had an analytics guy, and he was very good. I mean, it was Jeep Christ, Keller Christ, who was excellent. I mean, he was really good. But for a decision, I never ask about the analytics, because analytics doesn't take into account the moment in time and the people there. I will just say this about young head coach's decision at Green Bay, and also the young head coach's decision at Buffalo. They're going to live with those decisions to kick those field goals inside the 10-yard line in the AFC and the NFC championship games the rest of their coaching career. I don't question it, but when you make those decisions, you've got to be ready to live with the consequences one way or the other.
Coach Dave McGinnis giving us the Mac attack here on Blaine and Mickey.
Man. Coach Mack, when you watch Tom Brady today and you compare him to 10 years ago, do you see any difference in his game or his arm strength or anything that's glaring to you if you were observing him as a quarterback?
Yeah, he's got a different helmet on, a different uniform. I mean, really, seriously, that dude, come on, man.
This is crazy. 43!
Been in the league 20 years and has been to 10 Super Bowls. Let that sink in a minute. Been in the league 20 seasons and has been in 10 Super Bowls.
And married to Giselle.
Let that sink in a minute as to how hard it is, first of all, to get there, because so many factors have to come into place for you to be able to even get in position to go to a Super Bowl. The thing that I will say that you whether you like Tom Brady or not, I'm not into all that. What I'm into is wherever he has been in the National Football League, regardless of the people that have been around him, and he's had a variety of different people around him in those 20 years, he's elevated the play of everybody around him. That's what I know.
Well, one more last question. This is kind of more head coach. You've been a head coach in this league. But if you were giving advice to me, and I was a head coach in college, and I had some success, you know, I won a couple national championships at some different universities. And all of a sudden, I want to try my hand at the NFL. And then I become an NFL head coach. What advice would you give me to tell me what's different from college to pro head coach?
First of all, Blaine, congratulations on your two national championships.
I was really referring to Urban Meyer, as you know.
I knew that you had it in you. And Urban Meyer's different because he's not coming from a job. You know, he's coming from analytics. He's coming from being a TV
analyst.
Yeah, an analysis. He's coming from that. So that's different than talking to somebody that's getting ready to give up a Power Five job where you've had that much success. That's an entirely different story. And I'll tell you what else is different about this now than it was, say, 20 years ago. The money is so much different now. The money used to be bigger in the National Football League for head coaches. Now, you know, the way the Power Five schools are, It's either more or the same at Power Five schools. It's the same for head coaches. It's the same for, you know, it's and it's the same for assistants. The thing used to be so attractive about the National Football League, other than, you know, competing at the highest level, was you were able to, the salaries were bigger and you had a great retirement plan. I mean, you know, all of that stuff was in place. And the National Football League is, some people, that's the apex of what you want to do. But if you're at one of those Power Five schools now, there's a lot of things to consider going into. Urban Meyer, let's talk about his situation. He had a perfect situation, all right? He's going to get all the power he needs down there. He's going to get the number one draft choice. He's going to have his foundational quarterback there. And he has proven throughout his coaching career, wherever he has been, that he understands how to put a team together. And he also understands how to navigate the waters of being an administrator at a big level. That's what I think he will be very successful there. I just hope he's not successful 2 weeks out of the year.
Against the Tennessee Titans. Well, with Coach Mac, giving us the Mac attack.
All right, speaking of the Titans and who might give them problems, it looks like Matthew Stafford could be leaving the Detroit Lions. That's a fellow Texan like yourself, Coach. He is a tough guy, and he's been a really good quarterback for a long time in the NFL and still only going to be 33 next month. I don't know if that's a guy you want to see in your division twice a year right there.
Yeah, you may not have any choice. You know, yeah. I mean, he's Highland Park High School. He's he's got one of the best arms still in the National Football League. And you're right, he is a tough dude, tough-minded dude. Smart dude. And the thing about it is now this might be an unprecedented year as far as major quarterbacks moving, you know, within the league. This is going to be a very unusual offseason as far as that. And you're right. I think Matthew Stafford will be a great addition to wherever he goes. And the other thing that's interesting is you've got some high profile quarterbacks with some big numbers they're carrying moving. And so you only have certain teams that are going to be able to absorb that in a truncated salary cap season. Right. And so it's going to be very interesting to see. But as far as a player, I have always respected Matthew Stafford. I mean, I remember when Jim Schwartz went there as a head coach and he told me, he said, "Mac, this is one of the tough, physically and mentally toughest dudes I've ever been around."
Well, and in a year, like you said, where teams may have limited monetary abilities, you know, there's all this rumbling about Deshaun Watson and maybe some other guys. But if you can afford Matthew Stafford and you look at his track record, you may say, "Hey, man, let's go to this plan," because this is a guy we do have trade allocation assets for, and we can just roll forward with him for another 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah, Mickey, the National Football League has always been about equity and trying to balance out. But this year it's not going to be that, because some teams – don't have hardly any cap space left unless they do a lot of maneuvering. Some teams already have cash. I mean, they've got cash sitting ready to go. Jacksonville, Indy, they're sitting there with money right now. They've got money.
When are we going to know what that number is, Coach? What are you hearing about that?
I'm not hearing anything yet. Nobody knows. No, they don't know yet. I mean, everybody's throwing out the $180 million, you know, as a floor, but nobody knows. I wouldn't even, you know, I'm going to tell you this. All the time that I always try to, you know, I had to clear a cap, you know, one time, and trying to find out exactly how much money you have until they tell you, you don't know. So I have no idea.
Well, we'll all be watching, that's for sure. Coach, thank you for the time today. Always fun catching up with you on Tuesday afternoon.
Guys, it's the best, and I love talking about Blaine's evaluation because I remember him running in the goalpost, and congratulate him on his two national championships.
When you find that notebook, I want to hear about the evaluation of the cornerback from Ball State in 1993. We're going to be looking forward to that.
I already gave it to you. I say he's going to be a hell of a player, have a long career.
As a safety.
of safety in the 46, that's a lot different.
Oh man,
no doubt.
Who would have thought that?
Time for us to say goodbye to Coach Mack. Devontae Smith did something today at the Senior Bowl, Blaine. It was very interesting, and I'll tell you what it is. And everybody, what did he do? He said no to something. We'll tell you coming up. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone, 3HL coming up next today. Appreciate Coach Mack joining us. You'll want to check that out on the podcast page. later on. And as we talk to the Mac Attack, he's going through probably his mini storage right now, looking for his 1993 Senior Bowl notebook to catch up with Blaine Bishop. Speaking of the Senior Bowl, our guy Mike Dettillier, the best in the business, is going to be live at the Senior Bowl with us Thursday at 1:15.
Bang!
Mike D. Can't wait to talk to that guy, Blaine. We got to start figuring out about some pass rushers, right? Maybe a defensive lineman. We got to ask about some coverage guys. I mean, we got questions.
And
we
linebackers. Hey, man, I'm open to everything.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm open to everything. Offensive lineman, tight end, wide receiver, maybe even a quarterback. If I mean, later in the rounds. Yeah, man.
We're just asking about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This was a move that I probably should have done, like dating back to junior high. Devontae Smith, this is a real thing that happened. It's being reported from the Senior Bowl.
The Alabama receiver is who you're talking about?
Devontae Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner.
Well, right.
He declined to be weighed or measured at the Senior Bowl. He said no. He said no. Nope, not going to weigh me. Not going to measure me. He declined to be weighed or measured.
So what is he doing at the Senior Bowl?
He's going to play. No, I mean, he's going to do it. But he doesn't want that narrative that he's too small, that he doesn't weigh enough. So I thought, what did Alabama have him listed as? 6'1", 175 is what they listed him as officially.
And that was – this is his junior year, right? Yeah. So that is so true, and that's how good he is, and that's how high he knows he's going to go a top five pick, because they're going to evaluate him as he may weigh 165 and he's 5'11 and 5'8. Mm-hmm. That's what happened. They make you take your shoes off, turn your feet inwards, and lean backwards. You will definitely be an inch shorter. I think my height, which I am 5'9 and 5'8, I want to say 5'10. They measured me at the combine at 5'8". I was like, dude, I haven't been 5'8 since my freshman year, bro.
This was year four for him. This was his senior year.
His senior year, okay.
Senior year, yeah.
So that's why he's so high-profile guy. He can do that. That way he'll get measured at his pro day, and he'll do that then. And he knows nobody's going to try to cheat him out, because you're going to lean back, and you're going to be at least an inch shorter. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. It's funny. I don't know why they do that, but it's almost like they want to hurt your draft stock or something. I have no idea.
That is the biggest thing about him, though, is his size, because you can't question anything else about him. I mean, the guy's tough.
I don't think it really matters, to be honest, but that was someone in his camp probably gave him advice. But I don't think coaches – I wouldn't even play in the Senior Bowl if I was him. I wouldn't do it. I mean, I may show up and do interviews to meet people, but as far as practicing and everything, I think he's shown he can run routes. He's fast. He's athletic. I don't think there's anything else to show. So I probably would have gave him bad advice. Said, do your height and weight and do interviews, and that's it. And it is what it is. It doesn't matter. He's still going to be the number one receiver coming out. They can measure me at 5'10". I don't care what they measure me. I don't care. If I'm in the scouting department, I'm going, I don't care.
This is the classic. Look at the tape, right? Look at the tape. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He's just that good. So, yeah, but he declined to do his height and weight. String bean.
I was listed in the junior high basketball program as 5'9", 155. I wasn't 5'9 when I graduated, and I didn't weigh 155 until I got out of college.
Oh.
So he needs to get my junior high coach to do his measurements, because he's going to pump him up pretty good.
Yeah. Well, that girl's all over the place in high school.
Oh, no doubt. For they were scared to death of me, man, until they saw, hey, man, that guy's not 5'9". It's like 5'5". That was like a .105.
And then they saw you running and said, man, he's got some great feet.
No, they said, we have to fight this guy with a calendar, is what they said. We got to get out of here. Brett Daugherty, Don Davenport up next on 3HL. They'll have all the latest on the UT coaching search. It's been kind of quiet for the last 3 hours, but maybe it'll pick up now. 3HL is next. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Blaine and Mickey, peace!
Peace!